Welcome to Red Meat, a collection of the tastiest tidbits from Odyssey's conservative news talk radio stations across the country, a place where we're not afraid to dig in. Alcatraz and the so-called alligator Alcatraz are both in the news this week as Donald Trump doubles down on claims he wants to reopen the Rock outside San Francisco for inmates, and Democrats are boo-hooing about migrants at alligator Alcatraz, a migrant detention center in the Florida Everglades. So, we'll talk about that, and we'll give you the latest on Jeffrey Epstein, which continues to bedevil Trump, and we'll discuss if the president's life is in danger. Let's start with Tara Servatius on WORD Radio.
Who is hanging out at Alligator Alcatraz? Democrats absolutely outraged that their voters, well, future voters, they'll just, they're replacement voters for you because you won't go along with the program, are not allowed. Debbie Wasserman Schultz laying out the incredible atrocity that this actually is, according to Democrats.
The only thing inside those cages are they're bunk beds, and there are three tiny toilets that are toilet units that have a sink attached to it.
It's called a bathroom. They have them in prisons, too. Outraged that they're fenced in at all. Even more outraged that when they use the potty, there's only a 3-foot privacy wall. The suffering is unbelievable.
They bragged that they went above standards, supposedly, and gave them a 3-foot privacy wall that stretches the length inside the 32 detainee cage. A 3-foot privacy wall that stretches the length of the three toilets in a row. The showers provide no privacy at all. There are no curtains on it. It's a big open shower unit. There are, you know, small walls in each shower, but, you know, we're talking about all 900 men who are held in this facility. It is built currently for 1,000, and they have no privacy at all when they're showering.
So 900 men crammed into, wait a minute, a facility for 1,000? That's underfilled. That's what was there this weekend. She's horrified they don't have privacy when they shower. Now that is rich. Seeing as this is the same party that insists that women shower with men and have no privacy. The party that says girls will have to get used to seeing penises in their changing rooms, their gyms, their locker rooms. The party that insisted that it was okay for a fully intact 6'4" male who claims to be a woman, swimmer, University of Pennsylvania, who dates women but says he is a woman, to shower with them. That party is worried because illegal immigrants don't have privacy when they shower, something they will not give to high school girls who just want to play sports or go to gym class, have to run around with naked men. Oh, but it's too good. We have to live this way. But the illegal immigrants, the future voters, the replacement voters, no, no. Well, who are these people suffering inside Alligator Alcatraz? The Democrats forget to mention this. Again, in Florida, they're deporting the worst of the worst first. So these are criminals, right? Like this guy. Poor Eddie Lopez Jamot of Cuba. Oh, he just used a potty without privacy. Poor thing. Takes a shower without privacy. What did he do to end up in Alligator Alcatraz? Convicted of murder, arson, and assault. Yeah, he was arrested for, quote, cutting the throat of an elderly woman, unquote, in Key Largo, Florida, and then lighting her residence on fire with hopes of hiding the evidence. He ran, and he's, you know, been out roaming around as Wasserman Schultz wanted him to, awaiting the chance to vote Democrat, as are we all, I'm sure, when he was picked up cruelly and forced to poop. Her words, not mine, without privacy. Oh, his suffering must be intense. Now, her victim, screw her, who cares? This guy, I mean, look, he's a Democrat. Who else was in there this weekend when Debbie Wasserman Schultz was whining? This guy, Wilfredo Alberto Lezama Garcia, wanted for murder and aggravated robbery in Venezuela. He didn't need any privacy either. He has to share a potty with 32 other men, three potties for 32 men. The suffering's incredible, I'm sure. Not as much suffering as his victim, you understand, but you know. Came over the border in 2021 after Biden invited him during the Biden administration. He's likely a gotaway, they think. His crimes here include conspiracy to defraud the U.S. government in Oklahoma. But other than that, he's gonna be a great Democrat voter if he could just get back here. By the way, Eddie Jamat Lopez also threatened to kill a different woman by cutting off her head. This would be a different woman than the woman whose throat he slit when he murdered her and then burned her house down. He's a great guy. You'd really love him. And he's probably suffering right now from a lack of privacy, although he's probably also been sent out of the country, so I don't know. Jose Fortin, another great one. He was in Alligator Alcatraz this weekend suffering.
The conditions that we saw inside this internment camp, which it is nothing less than that description, were really appalling. I'll walk you through just a few of the really egregious, disturbing.
I'll tell you what's disturbing. Lazaro Rodriguez Santana of Cuba, he was in Alligator Alcatraz this weekend. No doubt suffering, I have no doubt. But his victim suffered, too, from sexual assault. That was in Texas. And failure to register as a sex offender. He is an illegal immigrant, and he has gone bye-bye. Jose Fortin, again, Honduras, second-degree murder. Miami-Dade. Let's see who else was in there this weekend suffering. Luis Donaldo Corrado of Guatemala. He's now on his way back to Guatemala. Burglary of an occupied dwelling, forced entry, voyeurism. He's a peeping Tom. Looking through the window of a woman. They don't care about her in Miami. But the question is this level of suffering, does he have to get naked in front of other men if he wants a shower? You know, like you expect high school girls to do in front of a man who, you know, they just want to play sports like that. These Democrats are ridiculous, folks. They're just plumb nuts. But you know what the good news is? We have X now. So they think they're lying and they're getting somewhere. These poor suffering illegals, families busted up. Oh no, J.D. Vance went to Disney World with his family when illegal immigrant families are being ripped apart by Alligator Alcatraz. Yeah, like these guys. I mean, he's a rapist, man. They're not going to be able to rape any more American women. That's really sad, I'm sure, if you're a Democrat. But let's listen to her whine again.
So they essentially drink. They get their drinking water and they brush their teeth where they poop in the same unit. They bragged that they went above standards, supposedly, and gave them a 3-foot privacy wall that stretches the length inside the 32 detainee cage. A 3-foot privacy that stretches the length of the three toilets.
Okay. Texter writes, we got a lot of military on the text line right now. Texter writes, hey, Jared, does Debbie Wasserman Schultz know what the bathroom conditions are like at boot camp for our military? It's not much more than that. No, she doesn't care. You got to understand the illegal immigrant, violent criminal, rapist, gangster is now the highest form of human life to the Democrat Party. Texter writes, when I was in basic training, we had a group shower with 12 heads in it, and there was no separation between them. 12 guys showered at a time, all the time. Yeah, but you guys are just grunts. I mean, these are illegal immigrants. You know how valuable they are? Texter writes, what has dumb Debbie ever been in a public restroom? Even at a big event, venues, men's facilities, sometimes there's no walls between the urinals. Texter writes, hey, Tira, not 20 minutes ago, I brushed my teeth just 3 feet away from where I use the bathroom. I didn't know I was supposed to be upset about it. Yes, apparently this is an atrocity. Texter writes, does Debbie know how he lived in the Marine Corps barracks? I would have loved to have had a 3-foot privacy wall. Well, you just need to be an illegal immigrant rapist from Guatemala, and Debbie, can get you a 3-foot privacy wall.
Here's the latest on the president's plans for actual Alcatraz from KCBS in the Bay Area.
The Trump administration has been teasing the reopening of Alcatraz as a prison, but there's a laundry list of things that would have to be done to get it into shape for that, including some sort of wastewater treatment plant, a way to deliver fresh water to the island, electricity, all that stuff that you want to have to tell us more about the problems that could pose. We are joined live in the studio by KCBS insider Phil Mateer and former San Francisco Mayor Willie Brown. And Mayor, you were here when Alcatraz was still operating as a prison, closed in 1963. What do you remember about all the costs that went into operating that joint?
Well, at that time, we were concerned about cost as a nation. Frankly, we're no longer concerned about that, as long as we can put some immigrants in it who are here illegally. We've got a great budget with ICE this time. It's greater, as a matter of fact, in growth than almost any other budget except the military itself. So you got to understand that if this administration decides to do something like reopening Alcatraz, they will do it.
It's so provocative. You think they'll really do it? It makes no sense. We hear all the stats. It costs three times the amount.
I'm not sure it's provocative so much as it's like you said, it's ridiculous. I mean,
hold on, Phil.
What?
He has got to have something to cover up what you might read in the Wall Street Journal. That's the problem.
Are you saying this is an Epstein cover-up attempt?
Well, I'm just
or
telling
diversion?
You what the options are. You know, I don't want to have, I don't want to be picked up.
Wait, so you don't want to be picked up by ICE, or you don't want to be picked up in the Epstein files?
So you really think it's a diversion?
In both, you know,
a diversion. This is a diversion.
No,
I don't. Well, you know, it's the guy's smart. He really is very smart. And by the way, he now says he's going to release whatever is there. Just think, if there's nothing there, all this time we Democrats have bit the hook. We're in the process of saying maybe he's concealing something. And the Wall Street Journal is looking forward to being sued by him for relating to the business of Epstein. I mean, it's amazing how clever this guy really can be.
I'm not sure if he's all that clever, but he is a showman, okay? And when the boss is a showman, everybody else has got to get the props ready. So, yes, the Secretary of the Interior was here. The Secretary of the Attorney General was here. And it happened to be the same day that he's also dealing with this entire Epstein. I don't even know what that is. That's like, you know, one person likened it to Geraldo Rivera's vault. Everybody's saying, what's in there? Or Al Capone's vault. Remember that when he opened it up and there wasn't anything there? But it's classic Washington stuff where you have something in a box, or the box is sealed, and everybody conjectures about what's in the box, and nobody really knows.
And you wait around 25 or 30 years later to open the box.
So are discussions about reopening Alcatraz really a diversion from the Epstein Files controversy? Catch up on the latest with Rich Zeoli at WPHT Radio.
The Epstein controversy not going away. Jackie Heinrich asked Caroline Levin about that. I'll play you the audio clip in just a second. But that was the first question that Caroline Levin was asked today by the White House press corps. And it was by Jackie Heinrich. Specifically, what part of the Epstein story is a hoax? And then Caroline Levin expanded on that. The story's not going away. The problem here is that this has just been handled so poorly. And at this point now, when Caroline Levin was getting follow-up questions, she kept referring them to the Attorney General and saying, well, you got to ask the Attorney General. We got to ask the Attorney General, which is what this should have been the entire time. The entire time it should have been referred to the Attorney General, and the Attorney General should have absolutely been the one handling this the entire time. And the president should have stayed out of it and not called his supporters weaklings or anything else, or accuse them of being stupid or falling for a hoax or any of the other things that he said. Give it back to Pam Bondi and let them deal with it. Because one of the other things Caroline Levin said today was she has the authority that if anything comes out that is relevant, she has the authority to release it. So if there's anything relevant in the Epstein files, she has the authority to release it. So release it, if that is the case. And Jackie Heinrich's question, which was a good one, too, which is, I mean, can't we redact some of this stuff, redact names of victims, redact names of innocent people, and put it out there so that we can have all this out there so that everybody can see it and feel better? And I'll play the answer in just a second. But the key here with this whole thing is that it's not going away anytime soon. I'm telling you right now, it's not. Miranda Devine in the New York Post today wrote an entire one-page whole New York Post story about it and saying that the base, the MAGA base, needs answers and deserves answers, and they felt like they were promised answers. And you know what else is not helpful? Is that a tweet from Donald Trump Jr. has resurfaced with him saying, ask yourself every day why they would not be releasing the Epstein files. Every day, ask yourself that question. What are they hiding? Why won't they release the files? So the fact that that tweet now from Donald Trump Jr. has resurfaced, of course, is adding fuel to the fire right now. And look, I mean, outside of social media, according to CNN at least, president's approvals have gone up. Rasmussen says they're going down among Republicans. CNN's Harry Enten says his polling numbers are going up. So it becomes the classic question of, is this story reflective of real life? In other words, does the average person out there give a blank about this? Or is this just something that is inside the, I don't know, for lack of a better term, the MAGA universe of people that are deeply invested in this and largely driven by social media? And I don't know the answer to that. I was kind of polling some friends of mine last night at this event that I was at, and I they didn't seem like it was going to be the end of the world. But you listen to some of the people who were talking about this on social media, and to them, this is basically the end of the world here. This moment right now, if we don't get answers to it, is going to be the people just leaving the MAGA coalition, and they're out, they're done, because this is for them the last. This is the moment where they thought they were finally going to get through the lies and the BS and all the other stuff that for years and years and years we felt like we couldn't get through. And if we can't get through it now with this president, we'll never be able to get through it. In other words, if the wall's too thick, if we can't climb over this wall now with Trump, we can't break through that wall now with this guy, then we'll never be able to do it, and there's no point. The government, the deep state, is just that powerful. It's that secret. It's just all-consuming, and there's no way around it, and that's just how people feel. And that's just the way it is, and that's how it goes. And to Miranda Devine's point about this, to just turn around and say it's a hoax is not going to satisfy anybody. It's not going to satisfy a single person. Because what's a hoax? Now, to the point of Caroline Leavitt's answer to Jackie Heinrich, Matt, do you have that one clip ready? Can we just play that one at least for the moment? Okay. The point for that one is that she says it's the fact that Democrats keep asking for it, that at this moment right now, they're asking for the Epstein files. Why weren't they asking for it before? Fair question. That's a question that was asked to his credit, although I hate to say that, Joe Scarborough asked that question today to one of the Democrat members of Congress. I think it was it might have been Shifty Schiff or one of them, maybe Raskin. I think it was Jamie Raskin. You guys have been in charge. You guys have been in charge of the Justice Department. Why haven't you, up until this moment right now, been asking for these files? Why now, all of a sudden, at Trump's in the White House, are you finally asking for the Epstein files? Like, why now? And it's a great question. It's a great question. And, the answer's not a good answer. Bottom line is that they sense an opening here. And that's the other problem, is that they sense an opening to either peel off voters or distract everybody away from talking about the stories that the White House wants them talking about, like the $92 billion investment in Pennsylvania energy, like that, for example, or the fact that right now we have the inflation and everything else that's good. Here's the exchange with Jackie Heinrich and Caroline Leavitt today at the White House press briefing. Take a listen.
Jackie.
Thank you, Caroline. There's been a lot of discussion about the Epstein files and the president's comments yesterday calling it a hoax. Can you clarify which part of the Epstein hoax is the hoax part?
The president is referring to the fact that Democrats have now seized on this as if they ever wanted transparency when it comes to Jeffrey Epstein, which is an asinine suggestion for any Democrat to make. The Democrats had control of this building, the White House, for 4 years, and they didn't do a dang thing when it came to transparency in regards to Jeffrey Epstein and his heinous crimes. It was this president who directed the Department of Justice and the Attorney General to do an exhaustive review of all files related to Jeffrey Epstein, which they did. The Attorney General and the FBI, led by Pam Bondi, Dan Bongino, Kash Patel, these are great patriots, some of the most trusted voices in the Republican Party movement. It's part of the reason the president appointed them to these high law enforcement positions. And they spent many months going through all of the files related to Jeffrey Epstein, and they concluded what they found in that memo, which they drafted and they released. And so the president has been transparent. He has followed through on his promises to the American people. But he doesn't like to see Democrats and the mainstream media covering this like it's the biggest story that the American people care about. The president has been working so hard this week. On Tuesday, he went to Pennsylvania, where he secured $90 billion in investments for the Commonwealth, for the people of that state. After that, he came back to the Oval Office at 8 p.m. He went in there to whip votes to get the Genius Act signed into law. And because of his efforts, that bill is now going to be signed and passed. The following day, yesterday, he meets with a foreign leader, the King of Bahrain, to secure more investments into this country. And then yesterday afternoon, the president is in the East Room of the White House mourning with parents who have lost their children because of fentanyl, signing a bipartisan piece of legislation. And not a single cable network in this country took that event live and covered that event like they should. Those are the issues the president cares about. What could be more important to the American people than helping families who have lost their children? Those are the issues this president is going to remain focused on.
I understand he wants to move on from the story, but you do have some prominent figures, including the Senate Majority Leader, the House Speaker, voicing support for the files to come out, Representative Massey collecting signatures that would force a discharge petition for a vote on the floor for this. It doesn't seem to be going away. What is stopping the administration from just redacting any sensitive information, grand jury information, and putting out what is appropriate so that the American people can decide and then let this story die?
Well, in terms of redactions or grand jury seals, those are questions for the Department of Justice. Those are also questions for the judges who have that information under a seal. And that would have to be requested, and a judge would have to approve it. That's out of the president's control. He has said, in agreement with some of the leaders on Capitol Hill, that if the Attorney General and the Department of Justice come across any other credible evidence, they should provide that to the American people. The president has said that, and he agrees with them on that.
Why did you fire Maureen Comey?
The Department of Justice did, and I would defer you to them.
Okay. So my question for you is, does that answer satisfy you? And you can let me know at 855-839-1210. Excuse me. 855-839-1210 or on X at Rich Zeoli, or you can weigh in on our YouTube chat. You can stream the show on YouTube. You can listen on the iHeartRadio app, the Odyssey app, of course, the old school radio. And you can call the show and let me know. Does that answer satisfy you? Does that put it to bed in your mind that what the hoax, when the president says people are falling for the hoax is that the Democrats are now the ones who are beating the drum and asking about it. It's not that he's saying that there's no there. It's that they looked at it. There's nothing more they can put out. And so at this point now, when Democrats keep beating the drum, you're falling for a hoax because they're acting like there's more there, trying to insinuate things. And that's the hoax. Does that answer work for you is my question. I'm not sure I would have answered it exactly that way if it were me. But that's, you know, I'm not the White House press secretary. To the second point of that, of why doesn't the files get released? And she said, well, that's up to a judge. So this issue of these judges in New York who are not releasing these documents, and this is what Alan Dershowitz has been talking about. I mean, long story short, I would have said from the get-go, if they can't release the files, if the list doesn't exist, if these things are not there, then it never should have been brought to the level of a Truth Social post and the president saying anything about it whatsoever. It should have always been, this is either being blocked by judges or this is an issue where the attorney general, the FBI director, and the deputy FBI director have reviewed these files. They've concluded that there's nothing there that they can release, that there's nothing relevant here. And that's that. And they're going to continue to review them. And as they continue to review them, if they find something, then they'll do something about it. That's how it should have been handled in the first place. It never should have gotten to the level here where the president has weighed in on this and said basically to you, hey, if you want answers, then you're a dummy falling for a hoax. Now, this spin to say that the hoax is that the Democrats are asking for it. Well, yeah, that's true. I mean, they are. They absolutely are. They haven't. They weren't in the past. They are now. And to that point, I agree. Yes. I mean, it's ridiculous to think to hear people like Jamie Raskin and others come out and say this, but that's how politics works. I mean, you're going to seize an opportunity. If you smell blood in the water, you know, and if you're trying to catch a shark, you throw chum in the water. It's what you do. They're absolutely going to keep pounding this. They see an opening now. They see an opening right now to keep going and bringing this up. And I think at this point now, the only way, I mean, two things will deal with this. Either one is time goes on and people just forget and you're able to just move on now, or something else is released that makes people say, okay, I feel better about this. So that's my question to you. I mean, does that answer from Caroline Leavitt, the White House press secretary, does that satisfy you? If you are somebody who is demanding answers here, does that satisfy your concerns? You know, I got to be honest with you. I mean, I'm always honest with you, but it's just a saying. But I mean, to think of how badly this was bungled, from the binders to the building of this up, to the files on my desk, to the White House influencers coming in and being handed these binders, and then, you know, all this stuff. And I mean, this has been just such a classic case of, a gigantic F all across the board in every way. And now, as you're trying to deal with cleanup on aisle 12 here, I don't think this makes it go away. In my opinion, that answer doesn't make it go away. Like, yeah, okay, we get it. Democrats are calling for the files to be released. Okay, but in addition to that, there's also this whole thing about the fact that we were promised answers and now you're saying we can't get them. And now you're saying everything's got to be referred to the attorney general. So, you know, I would imagine at this point, they're probably going to stop talking about it. They should. They should end the conversation about it. Does that satisfy you? Does that make you feel better? Does that put your mind at ease? I don't know. You'll have to be the judge of that. You'll have to let me know. You could do so by either calling the show, 855-839-1210. We'll screen your calls, take your calls, or you can weigh in, of course, on our chat. And then the other issue that is apparently, I guess, one that's going to probably stick around for some time at least, is the notion that the deep state has the ultimate control and the ultimate say, and that we're powerless to challenge it. You know, we're powerless to push back on it. That in the end, the deep state is just that powerful. That's what I worry about. The net result of this being that people just say, I'm tapped out, because no matter what, no matter who we send, they just can't overcome these people. You know, they're just too powerful. It's this Leviathan has gotten too big. Hydra has too many heads. We just can't chop them all off. And so, you know, that's that. And I worry about that. I worry about people then tapping out and going, all right, well, if I can't get the answers from this guy, then nobody's going to give me the answers. That worries me. But I'm not going to personally tap out. I can't. I can't afford to. We can't afford to. We got an election to win in New Jersey. Jack Cittarelli's down by 5 points. It's a very winnable race. And I also know that there are a lot of issues here. And outside of social media, at least if the CNN polls to be believed, Outside of social media, this issue is not resonating. The Epstein files issue is not resonating the way that it is frustrating people in our own circle on social media. So does that answer satisfy you? I'll tell you, I'm very happy today about the fact that they're cutting $9 billion. I'm very happy that they're cutting PBS and NPR. I'm very happy about that. I'm very happy that there's going to be all this waste and fraud that, in this rescissions bill that is being sent to the Senate. The Senate approved it last night. Democrats are throwing a hissy fit. Some Republicans voted against it, like Lisa Murkowski, Susan Collins. They were against this. But, I mean, cutting NPR is great. Getting rid of PBS, great. Absolutely. But even Laura Trump, the president's own daughter-in-law, is calling for truth and transparency on the Epstein files. She said that today to Stuart Varney. So even the president's own daughter-in-law wants truth and transparency on the issue. Here's Cut 29, Laura Trump. Take a listen.
Laura Trump joining me now here in New York City. Laura, thanks for coming on the show.
You got it.
Now, you said that the White House needs, quote, more transparency on Epstein. What exactly do you want to see happen?
Well, I think this is what people want to see happen. You know, it's amazing because you look at this president, and Stuart, he really has been a president for truth and transparency. Look at all the things that he was able to expose that so many presidents before him couldn't. The fake news media, as he calls them, right? The legacy media having such a bias against Republicans, against him. Really, the swamp in Washington, D.C. during his first term, those were big exposures. And he has consistently wanted to be on the side of truth and transparency. And I don't think this is any different. You heard him there say, I believe yesterday and 2 days ago, even anything credible, he wants the Department of Justice to release. He wants Pam Bondi to release. And I think that that's what his supporters certainly want to see happen. He tends to agree with them, and that's why he's saying that.
Do you think there's more to be produced, more to be revealed?
Well, look, I work right here at Fox News. I don't work for the administration. I don't know exactly what's going on there and what they have. But I do think that ultimately more will come out because he has been committed as a president during his first term and second term now to truth, transparency. And that goes for all things. And I believe it will include this as well.
Okay. So will we get more truth and transparency? Does that answer satisfy you? And how do you feel about that?
Let's wrap things up by remembering that the president narrowly escaped an attempted assassination a year ago. And Tara Servatius worries it could happen again. Here's more.
How much mortal danger Donald Trump is in right now from the Secret Service. When you realize a year after Butler that not only were the top two people in charge of securing that rally still actively in the Secret Service? They were not among the six disciplined last week, and they got promotions. But that's not even the biggest story. Now, the biggest story is what Ed Lenz said on Fox Nation. It's behind the paywall. I've cut it for you. The Beaver County Emergency Response Unit has never given an on-camera interview before. Until now. They were sitting down with Corey Compitore's widow and Fox News, and they wanted to let everyone know what happened. This is critical, okay? Because what we're looking at right now looks awfully homicidal when you know what they said here. And this is what it is. All of last week is where, you know, we're doing the one-year anniversary of Butler and the media is covering it. It is reported as fact that the reason that Crooks was able to walk around, point a laser sight his shot right at where Trump would be speaking, use his range finder, set up the shot right there in front of everybody, was because the Secret Service and the Butler County emergency people were on two different radio channels. And it's being reported as an oopsie, oversight, mishandling. But there's a critical thing in this interview. Ed Lenz is the head of the Butler County Emergency Services. And he said this. This is absolutely critical and important. It doesn't matter that they weren't on the same radio channel. Because when we couldn't get them, the Secret Service, we personally went to the command center. We went twice to the command center. The first time to let them know that we had spotted Crooks, that he was using both a laser to line up his shot and the sight finder. They knew right away something was terribly wrong. they pulled all the cops in who were doing, you know, they were helping to park cars and helping to manage traffic. They pulled them all in and started hunting for crooks. They knew there was a problem. They went to the command center personally to tell the Secret Service agent in charge that it was going on. They were hunting crooks. And they expected a swarm of Secret Service. And what they were telling him was, look, we know, we saw him, we know he ducked behind the building complex there, like the AGR building complex. There were three of them. We can't find them. We need help. They assumed the whole thing would be shut down, locked down. And then something weird happened. No Secret Service agent showed up to help. Nothing was shut down. Nothing was stopped. Then they realized Crooks was on the roof, setting up a shot. They panicked. They went back to the command center again to let them know he's on the roof. The key part here, and this was misreported by everyone from CNN to Fox News last week, because I guess they haven't seen, I don't know where the disconnect is at Fox, if they should watch their own special, because this is bombshell stuff. Again, it was reported as a miscommunications, radio channels didn't sync up. That doesn't matter because they went face to face and reported it twice as Crooks set up his shot. Secret Service did nothing. Folks, this looks homicidal. Here's Ed Lenz, who is the head of the Butler County Emergency Services.
Information.
Here we go.
I immediately contacted the state police sergeant, and I know for a fact he took that information and passed it forward to the Secret Service.
And the Secret Service, they were actually answering you?
I can tell you 100% that the Secret Service was absolutely aware. They had all of the information that we were telling them. The sergeant from the state police, he told me many times, everything I told him was passed face-to-face to the Secret Service. But no doubt in my mind, they had the information.
I'm literally waiting to see the cavalry to come and swarm that building.
He was waiting, frustrated. You know, he's watching these people. Where is the response that's going to take care of this?
It was the ultimate failure of the Secret Service. I just can't believe that building was left, like, not even checked.
Nor can we.
It was right there.
Yes.
What really gets me is that there was a threat and they let him come out on stage. If they would have just held him, none of this would have ever happened.
That's the other side of this. The Senate report that just came out detailed, this is New York Post, the expansive report singled out, listen to this, a Secret Service security room agent who was in charge of managing communications between local and federal law enforcement parties working security at the event. One Pennsylvania state police officer was in the room, who was in the room, told the committee that he relayed the information on Crooks directly to the agent, not over a radio, straight to his face, letting him know that local cops were hunting for the suspect, letting him know about the rangefinder, the laser sighter for right where Trump was going to be speaking. The agent was made aware of this 25 minutes before the shooting. Yet he never relayed the information to anyone involved in security at the rally. He was told twice. Quote, I got a distinct impression there's like a lack of urgency, the state officer told the committee. But I mean, this is one of the guys who was disciplined, right? Last week? No. No? No. Not only was he not disciplined, he's still on the job. He's one of the three. Two others who were in charge of the walkthrough, the setup for the events, they got promoted. They're still running Trump's events. Let that sink in, folks. He is in mortal danger, and I don't think he knows it. You got Iranians with a $40 million plus bounty on his head. They are coming for him again. And the people who insecured and unsecured this rally are in charge of Trump's security now. One of them is in charge of Eric and Lara Trump's security. The other one is the one who does the coordination for these events now. He got a promotion after nearly getting Trump killed. I bet you Trump doesn't know.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Red Meat. Don't forget to smash that subscribe button for your favorite tasty assortment of conservative audio. And follow your local Odyssey talk station to get shows from these hosts delivered daily wherever you get your podcasts. Until next time, stay hungry.